This is a recording of the Manuel Perez Conference with Erstrat on April 26, 2018 at 10 a.m. Central Time. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome everyone to Crédito Real's first quarter 2018 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, April 25, 2018. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 5228 9753. It is important to note that the presentation and the MP3 recording referred to this call will be available at www.creal.mx. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on Crédito Real's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. With us this morning from Crédito Real, we have Mr. Ángel Romanos, CEO, Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Deputy CEO, and Mrs. Iga Volska, IRO. They will discuss on the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the first quarter 2018. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Romanos.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, and thank you for your participation in our conference call for the first quarter of 2018. I would like to begin by informing you that this first quarter marked Crédito Real's 25th anniversary since its creation. We would not be here if it were not for the incessant work and dedication of all the people who are or were part of this great company, and the unwavering support and trust of our shareholders. You will have my most profound and sincere gratitude. Now, allow me to continue with my comments on this quarter's results. This reporting period, This reporting period became a good starting point to meet our 2018 guidance, as we were able to achieve a stable performance and advance in the execution of our key initiatives oriented to enhance our financial position. It is important to emphasize that our key performance indicators showed a solid resiliency against a challenging economic environment, which has been accentuated by the uncertainty surrounding. Outstanding this uncertainty, we can name the Mexican federal elections scheduled to take place on July, the NAFTA renegotiation process, and a hawkish policy on interest rates, which are still on a rising trend. In this context, during the first quarter of the year, our consolidated loan portfolio solidly increased by 29.4% to reach 31.3 billion pesos, while our net income went up 6.6%, amounting 423 million pesos. As our origination drive, alongside with a firm financial margin, more than offset the increase in the average cost of funds and higher provisions. I would like to note that Crédito Real's sound origination traction does not compromise the quality of the new assets incorporated, as it is shown by our non-performing loan ratio that remains stable and in a downward trend. Our non-performing loan ratio as of March 31st stands at 1.9%, and this means a decrease of 20 basis points in an annual basis. Firm proof of our operational edge. It is important to mention that we sustain a healthy loan origination towards an orderly and disciplined operation, and by keeping strict but adaptable origination standards, which are being dynamically adjusted to the prevailing environment of rising interest rates. Next in order, on the results breakdown by segment, once again, the payroll business recorded a deep double-digit annual growth above 38% in loan origination this quarter, reaching 1.6 billion pesos. As we successfully continued with the addition of high-quality assets into our portfolio, which this quarter was primarily supported from the incorporation of employees of the Mexican Federal Public Health System, IMSS. At quarter end, the participation of the payroll segment in the consolidated loan portfolio recorded a 67.7% share. As for our used car segment, we registered this quarter an increase of more than 350 million pesos origination-wise, as the credit generation of used car loans in Mexico posted a sound performance that more than offset the seasonal and migratory pressure in the United States. At quarter end, used cars accounted for 8.9% of the consolidated loan portfolio. Lastly, Instacredit loan origination amounted for 700 million pesos. This is below than what we recorded during the first quarter of 2017 as a result of a temporary operating adjustment that followed the implementation of more comprehensive credit generation standards, expecting to resume growth as soon as these initiatives become fully operational during the incoming quarters. These initiatives will bring us in return a better and enhanced metrics and to fortify our margins. Separately, we also faced a slower rhythm in the dynamism of the financial sector in Costa Rica, corresponding to the uncertainty surrounding the presidential elections that ended in a second electoral round. Instacredit held a 14.1% share of our consolidated loan portfolio as of March 31st. Moving into our financial position, I would like to highlight the successful closing of our 170 million Swiss franc bond in the Swiss market, being the first debt placement carried out in this currency by a non-banking financial institution in Mexico. The raised resources from this issuance will be primarily used to refinancing purposes, with the objective to extend maturities and maintain adequate levels of liquidity to face any contingency that could arise from the prevailing environment. In this regard, we recently subscribed a cross-border swap to minimize the financial impact of the transaction, covering 70% of the principal and converted the remaining 30% portion into American dollars for natural hedging purposes. Another relevant event this quarter was the adoption of a new dividend policy at the company's shareholders meeting, in which the maximum cash dividend payable to our shareholders was set to an amount equivalent to 10 to 30% of the net income for the corresponding year, compared to the previous limit of 20%, as our generation of cash flow has behaved resilient among the last years, thus allowing us to deliver a higher portion of the value generation of each operating exercise to our shareholders, complying with framework of prudent distributions aligned to the macroeconomic backdrop and sector's dynamics reality. It is important to highlight that this measure does not compromise at all the financial position of the company, as we count on a profitable operation and a solid balance sheet and only seek to retribute the trust of our shareholders, which is paramount factor to care of for Crédito Real. Before ending my participation, I would like to express my most sincere gratitude for your valuable insight, which grants us the required confidence to take the next steps toward building a stronger and more sustainable company. It is clear that the capacity to reach an even more profitable and sustainable growth path. In this sense, I want to underscore that Crédito Real's 25-year-long history has not been exempt from any major political shift, being all of them successfully overcome thanks to our flexible business model, prudent risk management, and sound balance sheet. To conclude the positive results of this quarter alongside with our underlying fundamentals enhancement provide us solid grounds to beat our 2018 guidance. With this, I want to thank you again and leave you with Iga Wolska, our investor relations officer, that will be heading the last part of the presentation on behalf of Carlos Ochoa today. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning and thank you all for taking the part in the Crédito Real quarterly conference call. Regarding interest income during this quarter, we reached interest income of 2.3 billion, increasing 14.6% compared to the first quarter of 2017. This variation was mainly driven by the growth recorded in the consolidated loan portfolio, which in turn was largely supported by used cars in Mexico, small and medium-sized companies and payroll businesses. The decrease in the yield compared to the first quarter of 2017 was largely attributed to a more intensive loan origination from the workers affiliated to the IN, which implies a lower average interest rate on loans, but representing the best-in-class asset quality, and a Mexican peso appreciation against the U.S. dollar, which registered a decrease of 57 cents. It is worth noting that during the first quarter of 2018, IN's payroll portfolio represented 46% of the total payroll portfolio origination. Regarding expenses, average cost of funds raised to 10.5%, an increase of 40 basis points when compared to the 10.1% in the first quarter of 2017, attributed to the higher cost of funding. The financial margin increased 10.9% to 1.6 billion, driven by the interest income growth. Thus, our international businesses contributed 39% to the consolidated financial margin. Provision for loan losses reached 421 million during this quarter, representing 5.3% of the consolidated loan portfolio. The 106 million increase compared to the first quarter of 2017 was primarily attributed to an 81 million increase in the other lines, a 24 million increase in the payroll businesses by the loan portfolio expansion, a 10 million increase due to the deterioration of the used car portfolio in InstaCredit, a 10 million increase in the small and medium-sized businesses, and 0.6 million increase due to the registered payroll loan portfolio under the securitization program, partially offset by a 20 million decrease related to the used car businesses in the United States. Cost of risk during this quarter was 5.3% versus 5.2% in the first quarter of 2017, as a result of the increase in the provision for the loan losses line. However, due to recovery of the charge-off account, which totals 46 million, the provision line would have decreased to 376 million. Therefore, the cost of risk would be 4.8%. Commissions and fees collected decreased 10.3% during the first quarter 2018 to 182 million compared to the first quarter 2017. Integrated by 130 million and 44 million commissions collected from Medwelpa and InstaCredit respectively. Administrative expenses reached 856 million during the first quarter, showing a 2.8 increase when compared to 833 million in the first quarter of 2017. The 24 million increase was driven by a 37 million increase in expenses associated to the portfolio expansion of the businesses in Mexico, and a 4 million increase in United States administrative expenses due to the business organic growth, partially offset by a 9 million decrease in Central America and an 8 million decrease in the debt issuance expenses. This quarter, net income reached 423 million, showing an increase of 6.6 year over year. Regarding key financial ratios, ROE was 11.6 during the quarter, whilst ROA was 4%. Excluding the perpetual note, which principal has equity treatment and is registered in the company's capital stock, ROE reached 15.8% in the first quarter of 2018. The quarter's efficiency ratio decreased to 46.7% in the first quarter of 2018 compared to the 49.9% in the first quarter of 2017. This quarter, the capitalization ratio reached 46% compared to the 36.1% in the first quarter of 2017. Excluding the subordinated perpetual note, the capitalization ratio reached 32.6%. Regarding our loan portfolio, it increased by 29.4% to 31.3 billion at the end of the first quarter of 2018. Driven by the double-digit growth in the used cars in Mexico, small and medium-sized companies, and the payroll. It is worth noting that the current environment of high inflation and rising interest rates, our loan origination was higher this quarter compared to the first quarter of 2017 and fourth quarter of 2017. Our payroll portfolio increased by 40% to 20 $1.2 billion, supported by the pensioner segment growth, which represented 47% of the total payroll origination during the quarter. Almost 80% of the payroll loans originated during the quarter derived from our three main distributors in which we own equity. In addition, the NPL decreased from 1.9% in the first quarter of 2017 to 1.3% in the first quarter of 2018. Our SME portfolio increased 50% year over year, totaling $2.4 billion as of first quarter of 2018. Also, the NPL decreased from 3% in first quarter of 2017 to 1% in first quarter of 2018. Our used cars in Mexico portfolio reached $762 million at the end of the first quarter, a 64% increase year over year, while the origination amounted $476 million. This quarter, the NPL was 2.4% compared to 1.5% for the same period last year. Our used cars in United States portfolio reached $2 billion at the end of the first quarter of 2018, decreasing 6.8% year over year. Origination for the quarter amounted to $383 million, while the non-performing loan ratio decreased from 2.9% in the first quarter of 2017 to 0.7% in the first quarter of 2018. Instacredit loan portfolio reached 4.4 billion pesos during the quarter, showing an increase of 5% year over year and representing 14% of total consolidated loan portfolio with an NPL of 5%. The line others, which integrated by durable goods and group loan businesses, registered a loan portfolio of 574 million during the quarter, an 8% decrease year over year driven by the disinvestment in durable goods. Moreover, the origination reached 1.3 million, increasing 9% year over year driven by the group loans businesses. This quarter, the consolidated NPL portfolio was 1.9% compared to 2.1% last year. The NPL improved mainly in the used cars, SMEs, and payroll businesses. With this, I conclude my remarks. Now let me turn back to the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll give one moment to populate for questions. Our first question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Angel, amiga. Three questions from my side. The first one is in terms of NAFTA. If we reach a deal, do you think this could also help the negative rhetoric in the Hispanic market, and therefore this could help to the used car business in the U.S.? My second question is in terms of cost of risk. It was 5.6% in the first quarter. I remember that you're expecting to normalize to levels of 4.5%. So I just want to know if you're still seeing this as a possibility after cleaning up the Instacredit portfolio and if we see a recovery in the used car business. Finally, when should we think net earnings to return to levels of double-digit growth in the next quarters? Thank you.
Hello, Ernesto. This is me, Carlos. Sorry for the voice, but anyway. So regarding your NAFTA questions, on the first part of your questions, we don't believe that we have much NAFTA exposure on the Mexican side. As for the U.S. business, we believe that this will, you know, settle things and help us in a significant way, especially in the used car business, but we definitely cannot assess how much will be the impact on that side, on that end. However, the positive effect, if a NAFTA deal is reached, I would say that that's going to come on the FX side, and at least if at some point the volatility on the FX diminishes, to the NAFTA renegotiation, I think that that will benefit the company in that sense. When it comes to your second question, the cost of risk, if you get to see the cost of risk now, so the first quarter was 5.3, but it's trending downwards from the 5.4 that we saw on the last quarter, the fourth quarter last year. So even if it's 10 basis more, it's 10 basis higher compared to the first year, 17, now it's trending downwards, and we feel confident that the measures that we've been taking in InstaCredit in particular, combined with the, you know, with the performance of the payroll business, that's going to help us a lot. Actually, if you look at the cost of risk, and if you net it out of the of the other income from operations, the cost of risk is around the 4.6%, which is 4.5, which is a level in which we feel comfortable. So that would be we are confident that this will be. That we are on the right way in terms of managing the portfolio. And finally, when it comes to the net income, when it comes to the net income growth, I would say that now that the cost of funds, we start seeing some clarity in terms of the cost of funds. And if you look especially at the SG&A part, that it's been trending, you know, along with the efficiency ratio, it's been trending downwards. Probably by the end of the year, we could be seeing double digits growth in net income.
Thank you very much, Carlos. Hope you recover soon.
Thanks.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 at this time for any questions. Our next question comes from Natalia Caulfield with J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, all, and Carlos, I hope you feel better soon. We can see from your voice that that you are not great. But anyway, so thank you for being the call. And my question is with regards to margins of Credit to Health, because what we saw in this quarter is that margins were negatively impacted by the fact that you have 46% of your payroll loan book on this segment where you have low interest rates. So I wanted to understand a little bit of what's the strategy there. Is the strategy to continue to grow in this segment? And if so, does that impact margins? Or do you foresee other ways to improve your margins throughout 2018?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the explanation for the pressure on the margin was mostly due to the two factors. On the one hand, you have the FX that impacted for about something around 70 million pesos, affected the FX because of the income that we generate in the foreign subsidiaries. And on the, as you mentioned, you know, the payroll, in the payroll business, the fraction that we have in the pensioner segment, we are convinced that the asset quality that we get on the pensioner segment definitely offsets, you know, any other pressure that we might have on the financial side, on the financial margin. So we feel very comfortable with that one. Probably at some point, that segment, there's a seasonality for in the pensioner segment in the first quarter, but it continues to level this in the following quarters, especially in the second and the third quarter. So I believe that the pensioner portfolio should be amounting roughly around 45%. But as I was telling you, that's a best-in-class portfolio. We like that one a lot. And on the other hand, if you look at the payroll business, it continues to weigh pretty much the same amount, two-thirds of the book. And the changes that we saw on the remaining third, on the foreign business in particular, the pressure on the NIMs is also explained by the decline in the participation in the InstaCredit, which is the one with the highest margins. So due to the growth in the SME, and also due to the growth in the used car business here in Mexico. So that's practically explanation. We feel comfortable with NIMs above the 20, but we believe that we could easily be at the end of the year something in the 22 range or something.
Okay. They're expecting increases for the year. Go ahead.
No. And yes, and that's because of the seasonality in the pension segment. Well, it's very steep, the seasonality for the pension is in the first quarter.
Okay. And a follow-up on asset quality at the InfraCredit. Because we are seeing the NPL ratio of credit health declined in the quarter. Nevertheless, if we look at provisions continue to increase, and if you look at the number accumulated, a big chunk of the increase in 2017 was related to InstaCredit. So
sure.
What can we expect going forward? Do you think that InstaCredit is at the end, or there's still more to come from InstaCredit?
No, we believe that we reached the peak. And also it's worth mentioning that, you know, the provisions are computed based on expected losses. That's basically an algorithm, and basically that's how it works. However, if we consider the performance of the book due to the measures that we've taken in the last three quarters, I would say that we already, you know, that the measures that we took both on the collection side as well as on the origination are being were the right ones.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Nick Dimitrov with Morgan Stanley.
Hi there. Two quick questions for me. So I was looking at your funding, and you mentioned that about 56% of your funding is fixed rate. Considering kind of the volatile interest rate environment, what are your plans? Are you going to leave it at 56%, or your goal is to ultimately increase the percentage of the fixed rate funding? The only reason why I'm asking is, you know, some of your peers that are also non-bank financial institutions have increased, you know, their fixed funding percentage to significantly above your level. And my next question is going to be on your used car business in the U.S., FS acceptances. It's been loss-making, and I noticed that losses have been declining, but what is your long-term commitment with regard to that business? And I also saw that NPLs declined there, and I assume that they declined because of write-offs. I just want to confirm that this is the case. Thank you.
Hi, Nick. We feel comfortable with the fixed level of the fixed level portion of our debt as it is. No, there are a couple of elements that are that affect that. We believe that the hike cycle in Mexico has come to an end. So if the inflation starts trending downwards, and if by the end of the year it's in the range of 4-4.5%, probably we could start thinking not only, you know, hiking, not in terms of increasing in interest rates, but also in terms of cuts might be on the next year, probably, if nothing dramatic changes in between, especially due to the elections here in Mexico. So we believe that with a combination of our businesses in outside Mexico and a more beneficial state of the economy next year, I think we are on the right amount of fixed debt.
Okay.
When it comes to the used car business as a whole, you know, the last year was very challenging for us, and we were very active in that sense. And basically, you know, both our businesses, especially the AFS, is going to start generating cash this year. We are very, and that's basically the commitment that we have for that year, to make all of our businesses, especially those in those two businesses in the States, they are going to be generating cash by the end of the year. We already reached that point in the case of AFS, and in the case of Don Carro, given that we have to make some changes on the commercial side of the business, probably it's going to take us a little bit longer, but definitely it's going to be a good year for the States.
Okay, got it. And if you don't mind, I would like to sneak in one more question. Regarding your funding plans for the year, right, you did the hybrid issue, which has been very successful, but like, if you can let us know how you think about funding like longer term, do you intend to tap markets with senior debt like once or twice a year, or how should we think about this?
Yes, I mean, for the remaining of the year, we believe that whatever we have of cash and the cash that we generate, along with probably another securitization of a portfolio here in Mexico, probably that will do for the year. That's our view on that one. And probably, yes, you know, given the dynamics that the business has at this point, probably we will be tapping international markets once a year. That's my view at this point.
Once a year. Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
As a final reminder, press *1 at this time for any questions. With no further questions in queue, the question and answer session will now conclude. Thank you all for being in today's conference call. Now you may disconnect.
Thank you all.